In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And how are you named? Joanna, receive the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet, according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his hosts in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Joanna according to your boundless mercy and bless her with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in her, which has been inherited from Adam and which she herself has committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant that she be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, she would be declared worthy of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord preserve your coming in and your going out, from this time forth, and even forevermore. Do you renounce the devil, all his works, and all his ways? Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Yes, I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting?
Yes, I do.
And do you desire to be baptized?
Yes, I do. Hold on.
Joanna, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ, and be ever watchful for his coming, that you may meet him with joy and enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which shall have no end. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family and have granted Joanna the new birth in holy baptism and made her a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as she has now become your child, you would keep her in her baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, she may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name. And finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And peace be with you. Your hands, all peoples, shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great King over all the earth. All peoples, shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. With you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose never-failing providence orders all things both in heaven and earth, we humbly implore you to put away from us all hurtful things and to give us those things that are profitable for us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the seventh Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 2. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out in Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is the Pishon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Darium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Come, all children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 6. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at the time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away. And his disciples answered him, How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? And he asked them, How many loaves do you have? They said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people. And he sent them away. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Lord God made man to be a recipient of his goodness, which would provide all that is needed to live. This is what we heard in today's Old Testament reading, that the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The lavishness of this divine goodness is amazing. We see that nothing was lacking. We also see that the Lord God's creation functioned as he designed it, so that mankind could live. But, as we read in the scriptures, humanity did not abide by the instructions that the Lord God issued. We were told in today's reading from Genesis that the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And as we read further in the scriptures, we see that those orders were violated. And when that happened, death and decay, chaos and confusion came into the world. And the earned wages of such sin included the death suffered by that man made by God. But as we also read in the scriptures, Jesus comes into that very same world of death and decay, of chaos and confusion. And he comes into that world to bring salvation to what was lost. He comes into the world announcing the good news of the kingdom of God for people to hear and to believe. And this action is a further demonstration of the Lord God's lavish goodness, an expression of his compassion over the plight of his fallen creatures. They are to benefit from the reversal of what they brought upon themselves, a reversal that he provides. As the apostle tells us, the wages of sin is death. Yes, indeed. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when Jesus comes to deliver that free gift to humanity, he sees firsthand with his very own eyes the plight that his human creatures were enduring. We encounter all sorts of narratives in the Gospels where Jesus does this, and today's Gospel reading is an episode of that. Now, it might not be as dramatic as some of the other incidents in Jesus' ministry, like when Jesus comes face to face with people who are suffering from serious illnesses, or they're afflicted by evil spirits, or even they have succumbed to death. But we do see that even in this maybe less dramatic incident, Jesus is also putting his compassion for humanity into action. He is doing so in that desolate place on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, where a great crowd had gathered to listen to him. We're told by the gospel writer Mark that in those days, when again a great crowd had gathered, they had nothing to eat. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away." These crowds had come to hear the good news of the kingdom of God that Jesus was announcing. He spoke about bringing them under his rule, under his governance, a good rule, a good governance. That message was not just meant for the people living in Judea or Galilee. It was also meant for the Gentile areas east of the Sea of Galilee where he was, because they also are included in this beneficial act that the Lord God was taking for his creatures, not just one small portion of his creatures, but for his human creatures, no matter what nation they were from. But as the people avidly were listening to Jesus' gospel message, they encountered a difficulty. A difficulty because within this fallen creation, food is no longer automatically provided like it was in Eden, as God had first made it. But Jesus knows that. And it's a truth that he sees firsthand with his own eyes. And that's why he calls his disciples to himself and tells them about the situation the crowd was facing. That the people had been with Jesus for 3 days. They had been with him 3 days, attentively listening to him, being fed in that way by him. But now they needed to be fed with the provisions of the body as well as the provisions for the soul. But how did Jesus' disciples respond to what he said? They answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" The disciples realized the problem of hunger. They got that. But they couldn't conceive of how that situation could be remedied. At least, not by them. That is, they all knew how to obtain food in the fallen creation. You plant crops and raise them and harvest them and then turn them into bread. Either you make that yourself or you buy it from someone else. That's how it works. But that doesn't work in a desolate place where there are no fields full of grain and there are no bakers selling their wares. And they also knew that the few loaves that they had would not suffice, because even Jesus asked them, "Well, how many loaves do you have?" And they said, "We have 7. And hungry crowds are not going to be fed with that little amount. But that is where the Lord God's lavish goodness arises, overcoming the plight of the people, both spiritual and physical, would not be done by ordinary means, which possess no power to do so. Instead, the Lord God would do it himself. Jesus directed the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they set them before the crowd, and they had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them.
This miraculous act is driven by Jesus' compassion and carried out by his power. He provides what the people need. And he doesn't only just remedy their situation, he even supplies more than necessary. As the gospel writer Mark tells us, they ate and were satisfied, and they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people that were fed by this. And it's then that Jesus sends them away. Jesus fully provides for the people who are hearing and believing the good news of the kingdom of God. His goal is to restore the creation to what the Lord God initially designed. That would be the full outcome of his activity in this world, this fallen world. And what happens, what is done by Jesus in that desolate place, is a marker that greater restoration promised by God would be accomplished by him. And this is what we are to learn from this event in Jesus' ministry, the second of his 2 feeding miracles. We are to learn that mankind is created to be a recipient of divine goodness. And by performing this feeding miracle within Gentile regions, Jesus shows that his goodness is to be universal rather than a perk for just one small group of humanity. Jesus' first feeding miracle, that feeding of the 5,000, which happened earlier in his ministry, it carried with it those overtones of the Exodus, that in a way, Jesus was kind of replaying Moses and the manna in the wilderness. It's an event that happens near Passover, and we even read in the scriptures that the people seem to have messianic mania on their minds, and they even want to make Jesus king after this. But that quickly dissipates when Jesus starts speaking about himself being the bread of life that came down from heaven. But this second feeding miracle, on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, points to something greater. That the work of Jesus in this world would be extended to all who are drawn to him. That's seen in his statements about the motley crew who had come to hear his good news about the kingdom of God. When he says, I have compassion on them. They've been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away. Not the close people of Israel, but ones on the periphery, outside. We also have been drawn to Jesus, and his compassion is extended to us so that we hear what he has done to bring us into his salvation, what he has done for us to overcome the death and decay, the chaos and confusion that our sinful deeds have wrought. Because we have added and continue to add to the violation of divine orders. And like that first man created by God, we also disobey direct instructions that the Lord God issued. And what began with just one command, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it you shall surely die. Now that's been compounded with all sorts of further transgressions done by our forefathers and done by us. The Apostle Paul vividly describes our natural, lawless state. In today's epistle reading, when he wrote to the Roman Christians, when you were slaves of sin. Interesting way to describe them. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time for the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. And that also describes us. But they and we were brought near to Jesus. We have been with him for 3 days. But not just any 3 days. Rather, we have been with Jesus for those 3 days that the Apostle Paul mentioned earlier in his letter to the Romans, the part we heard last Sunday, that do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And we know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Those are the 3 days. The 3 days of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection that holy baptism tied us to when we became his disciples, just as Joanna was tied to it this morning. And that puts us on the way to salvation. It brings us into newness of life now. And it also sets us up to be participants in the resurrection and restoration that Jesus will accomplish, the full outcome of his activity in this world. We benefit from all of that divine work done for us, as the apostle reminds us. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit that you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Now, we haven't yet reached that full and final outcome. It's what we hope for. It's what we anticipate. It's what we're on the way to. And our Lord Jesus knows this, because he's the one who has set us on that way. And he sees us in the same way as he looked at those Gentile crowds who came to hear him. I have compassion on them, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away. Now, that same question asked by the disciples could be asked in our setting. How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? How indeed? There is no way to do so if we are limited to what we can provide for ourselves. But that's not how Jesus leaves it. He doesn't leave it to our ability. Rather, our Lord, who has brought us close to him, who has tied us to his 3 days of death, burial, and resurrection, supplies what we need. He sets before us his gospel gifts, not only for an initial time in baptism, but also in the meal that we eat and drink for the forgiveness of our sins. We can eat from the tree of life. We can partake of Jesus' divine words of eternal life instead of consuming the poisonous evil fruits. That's what Jesus gives to us. Good fruits. bring into our hearts and minds so that we don't faint on the way to the eternal life that he has won for us. Jesus supplies this for us so that we also can eat and be satisfied like the 4,000 were. And he provides more than enough for them, and he provides more than enough for us so that there are even baskets left over. Because we can come to receive from Jesus what he gives again and again and again and again, never exhausting it alongside everyone else that he calls to himself. That's the way it's going to be for Christian crowds of any size in the desolate places of this still fallen yet redeemed creation, not yet fully restored. It will be that way until Jesus returns as promised to bring the full resurrection and restoration that has been promised. And when that happens, on that day, he will once again shape his people from the ground and breathe the breath of life into them and place them into the eternal paradise that he has established. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Let us together make confession of our faith. I believe in one God,
Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible,
and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you have adopted us as your children. You have compassion on us in Christ Jesus, who has won for us the gift of eternal life. Forgive our sins and give us your Holy Spirit, that being made holy through our baptisms into Christ, we may present ourselves as servants of righteousness, leaving the sanctification and its end eternal life. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, pour out the blessing of your Holy Spirit on the delegates who are assembled in Synod Convention this week. Give wisdom to those who propose, deliberate, and decide for the work and welfare of our Synod. Guard all who speak and all who listen. Give us courage to do with integrity what we promise. Bless our plans and actions and grant success. Only let our manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Lord and giver of life, you formed us from the dust of the earth and breathed into us your own breath of life. All people are made in your image and have dignity and worth in your sight. Defend your gift of earthly life at every age, from natural conception to natural death. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, preserve the state and its servants. To all whom you have given authority, bestow also the wisdom needed to use it dutifully for the benefit of those under that authority. Turn us from every evil in judgment, law, or action, and renew in us and our fellow citizens discernment and selflessness. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, give patience and endurance to all who are sick or in any need, especially Jim, Wendy, Michael, Lucia, Lucille, Nancy, Jocelyn, Russ, Richard, David, Pendo, Michelle, Adam, Laura, Edwin, Renee, Juanita, Jason, Helen, Richard, Sherry, Dave, Reynolds, Mary Ann, Michael, Angelina, John, Lynn, Jesse, and Elizabeth, and heal them according to your will. Receive our thanksgiving for every blessing and kindness that you have shown to your people. Lord, in your mercy. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you fed thousands out of your great compassion, which has been shown to us also through his life, death, and resurrection for our sake. Give all who commune today a firm trust in your promises, that receiving the forgiveness of sins, we may be strengthened for life and preserved to life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, O Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name of the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Your body of Christ given for you. 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 Your body of Christ. Body of Christ given for you. Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. My name is the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Bless you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you.
Christ, 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 Christ
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Lord, and now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people. A light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.